The Word of God is alive and powerful, sharpening a two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing in the center of the soul and the spirit and the joints and the marrow. It's a critic of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. All Scripture is God-breathed and is profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction, instruction, and righteousness, that the man of God might be mature, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Study show yourself approved unto God, workman does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. We resume back to dead man walking. Oh, that was last week. Never mind. We're doing the doctrine of walking this week. Pick up probably around Roman numeral 4 of our notes. All right, as is our custom, at any given point in time, you can choose to serve God and action with honor. That requires the filling ministry, God, the Holy Spirit, and intellectual honesty on our part in recognizing any personal sin in life otherwise and employing the rebound technique. When we acknowledge our sins to God, name, sight, and acknowledge them, God forgives us of our sins, and He cleanses us from all unrighteousness. We are then filled with God, the Holy Spirit. All that we do in this capacity redeems the time. It places us in positions that we can assimilate the truth of Bible doctrine undistorted by the sin nature, and otherwise engage in true worship as we couple that with the truth of Bible doctrine in this way. So with that in mind, we'll give you opportunity to rebound if necessary as we start with a normal word of prayer. Father, again, thank you for your many grace and mercies. Thank you for the time you allot us in order to fulfill your plan for our lives, that we have opportunity once again to glorify you in this capacity this evening and our time and fellowship together, and that God the Holy Spirit will enlighten us to truth in the matters at hand. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. As we've noted, while walking is used both literally and figuratively in the Scriptures, the action that we're dealing with is a figurative action as it pertains to describing the pattern, manner of life, way of life, in regards to the Christian's phase two as part of the royal family of God. We are, based on our very relationship with Jesus Christ, royalty, and it behooves each and every one of us to act like it in terms of our spiritual manner of life and representation of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. We saw Roman numeral 2 there, that the mechanics of walking imply one day at a time, the concept of living the Christian way of life. As James makes clear, our life is but a vapor. The decisions we make today can have eternal consequences, as they always do. We do not know what tomorrow may bring, and hence Christian life is a day-by-day proposition to make the right decisions, to look to the will of God in regard to all that we think, say, and do, recognizing that in God's will for our life, as most Christians probably do not understand, God has permissive will. He permits us to go off and make stupid decisions, to be out of fellowship, run under our sin natures, and bastardize His plan for our lives otherwise in disregards. That is not the will of God. Christians constantly portray their life as being in the will of God because they get some blessing or detail in life or relationship or whatever, and they accredit it all to God. Well, whether it falls under God's directive will or His permissive will is yet to be seen, obviously, in most of these cases. And God's permissive will recognizes that volition exists. Man has a freedom of choice to choose for or against God. His directive will is what He wants us to think, say, and do. His geographical will, where He wants us to be in terms of what He wants us to think, say, and do. And obviously, we all walk under His permissive will to a certain degree, but we seek to keep it overruled sufficiently so that we maintain the priorities of His directive will. and for those who otherwise betray their NPR, as James says, to go out and make a profit, as is the example that he used. Obviously, you can use any example you want in regards to those things that would take you out of Bible class, relationships, funds, bills, geography, things of this nature. But those who take off and say they're going to go out and make a profit, James says, you do not know what tomorrow may bring. God may call you to task, each and every one of us. Our life is a fragile life as a human being. Any day you can walk up, wake up, and that could be when God says, all right, I'm calling you home. It's time to answer for what you've done in regards to your Christian life. And there are those that otherwise disregard God's plan for their life. They run under their sin natures. They set their own priorities over the truth of doctrine, over their NPR and things of this nature, and go out and pursue the cosmos. And then they come back and they rag about all that they've accomplished in their omission in regards to their NPR otherwise. And James says that's evil. That boasting is evil. Because it completely disregards God's will for one's life. And one thing that you can take to the bank, God's will is not going to, His directed will is not going to tell us to compromise doctrine otherwise in regard to our life for any other agenda or endeavor in this respect. And so these things, the astute believer, the ones that truly in tune in regards to the consequences of disobeying God, their conscience is a good conscience. They have been highly sensitized in regards to these things that are out of line with respect to God's plan for their life. And otherwise, will do what they need to do to keep their priorities intact. And as I mentioned in previous class, part of the success, the believer's success in regards to their endeavors in persevering in this regards, is to establish their priorities, their spiritual priorities before God, and maintain that discipline in regards to their life. Even if one may get out of whack on occasion, isolated otherwise, with one's priority intact, making the habit of your NPR and all these other things comes into play, how much quicker can we otherwise gain control over our sin nature when it does get the best of us? And otherwise keep our eyes focused, pushing forward in regards to fulfilling God's plan for our life in this vein. Roman numeral 3, there that point was the mechanics of walking is related to the intensified state of the angelic conflict. The mechanics in regards to the Christian walk in the angelic conflict is to overrule and not let your STA give it advantage regards to all that is the world has to offer, to be caught up in the vortex of all the cosmic STA and human viewpoint activity out there in the world and their approach to life. And that is how one is able to avoid many of the pitfalls. The doctrine of separation is imperative to be successful in this endeavor. To embrace the cosmos, embrace negative volition and things of the world, especially at the expense of Bible doctrine and otherwise in this regards, can have catastrophic effects. How many people have blown out of Bible class because of relationships with negative volition, see? And to think that you're above that, you're self-deceived. Enough influence. The principle is that the bad drags down good. It is not the other way around, in spite of the human viewpoint approach that, I can win them over. I can bring them up to my level. It's not going to happen. It's not going to happen. It's going to have a negative effect on our own lives when we allow ourselves to hobnob in regards to the cosmos and things of this nature. Obviously, we've got to be out in the world. We've got to be around people. We're not to be hermits and things of this nature, the ascetic lifestyle and all these things. We are to be a witness of the light in this regards. but who it is that you call your friends, that is your close relationships and associations in life, makes all the difference in the world in regards to one's continued encouragement that they receive in regards to their life and under testings and things of this nature. And they will find through like-minded positive volition those types of exhortations and comfort, etc., that one needs in order to persevere in their own lives, whereas the world will give you an earful in regards to their own human viewpoints, solutions, prescriptions in regards to your life. Roman numeral 4, where we leave off, pick up. Here, this particular category deals with the five general spheres of walking. Your preposition in, en in the Greek, bed in the Hebrew, knows being in the sphere of something. And in terms of walking figuratively, there are spheres of walking that we are to seek to attain to and endeavor to be accomplished in regards to these things. A, first is walking in the Holy Spirit. Obviously, we understand the necessity of rebound, to be filled with the Holy Spirit. God, the Holy Spirit, indwells and fills the believer at the point of saving faith. When one exercises faith apart from works, with the object of faith of being in the person of Jesus Christ, many things happen. But God, the Holy Spirit, in regards to His ministry, indwells the body of the individual believer in our dispensation and fills the believer at that point in time. For a moment at a time, at least, every individual who believes in Jesus Christ is in fellowship. But while the indwelling is permanent, it's eternal, it is non-conditional. The filling ministry is conditional. And that is dependent upon one's personal sin in life and whether or not they will rebound that sin. Galatians 5:16. Being in fellowship, out of fellowship, there's no running the line. It's either or. You can't walk with one hand in the filling of God, the Holy Spirit, and the other hand with your sin nature at the same time, simultaneously. Either you're in fellowship or you're out of fellowship. That makes it pretty simple. It obviously makes it very challenging, too, to constantly be on top of your own game to see whether or not you're in fellowship or not in fellowship. And Paul makes it very clear to the believers of Galatia, but I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not carry out the desire of the flesh. They're incompatible. To be in fellowship means that God the Holy Spirit has a rulership over the real you, rather than your sin nature. Your sin nature, you give it the green light to be in rulership over personal, when you engage in personal sin. You become a prisoner of war, so to speak, in that capacity. And how you escape that prison camp is through the rebound technique. And when we are walking in the filling of God, the Holy Spirit, our sin nature is put in its case, so to speak. We have fulfilled the command to put on the new man and put off the old man. Take off the old man. What is the old man? The sin nature. Flesh is used in terms of describing the sin nature because that's where the sin nature resides in. It resides in our body. It is part of our very DNA makeup. The human viewpoint, there's some good in everybody. Well, the divine viewpoint says there's evil in everybody. Good, what good are you talking about? Human good? Or are you talking about divine good? See? Really, how many Christians understand that difference? Most people, good is just simply good. And it's all relative. It's relative to whatever level that they deem their sacrifice or their actions and things of this nature, comparatively speaking, to all the evil in the world. The angelic conflict is a two-front battle for the believer. We have to be on the aware, on guard for ourselves in regards to all the people out there in the world running another negative list and running under their sin natures and all the distractions that the world has to entice our own STA. And the world is genius at this. Satan's a genius at this. He understands the sin nature like you wouldn't believe. He knows what makes it tick because he has one. But that's only part of the battle. The real battle lies within. Real battle is your own sin nature. Trying to convince your soul, convince the real you that all you need to do is capitulate to the sin nature of whatever degree and you'll be happy, or you'll meet your endeavors and things in things in life or whatever other thing that it tries to convince you of. But is it a constant conflict? The Holy Spirit is constantly vying for our affection, just like our sin nature is vying for our affection. In verse 17, for the flesh sets its desire against the Spirit. It's naturally antagonistic to the truth of doctrine. You may think, well, I have a strong desire for doctrine, and I don't really feel the antagonism sometimes. That's because you are positive to doctrine, and you've trained your mind, you've trained your soul, and you desire doctrine over and beyond even that of the sin nature, see. Even though sometimes still the sin nature, you give it the green light. But there's a constant conflict between the two. The flesh sets its desire against the Spirit against the flesh. For these are in opposition to one another. So you may not do the things that you please. Paul fully understands the inner conflict. The book of Romans, much of it's written in regards to his understanding of the sin nature and the weakness of the flesh. We understand the doctrine, we understand the priorities, God's directed will, but our sin nature gets in the way. And as James says, we all stumble in many ways. We say without sin we're a liar and our truth is not in us, as John would say, etc. So it is a daily battle, a daily battle. And the successful Christian is one who's going to be first and foremost on top of their priorities in life. Obviously, beginning with the NPR, then maintaining a healthy prayer life. We are to pray without ceasing. What does that mean? Obviously, we've got to think about things. Most of us can't just constantly be thinking two things at one time. And there may be some people that can, but I can. But that means that we are constantly thinking doctrine in regards to our life. All of our thoughts are inclined to be a doctrinal frame of reference in regards to those things that we do in life. Rebound is a prayer. And you've got to stay on top of your game. To take time out of your hectic life and pray about things, along with the rebound consistently, etc. To shoot things, prayers up for every little thing that you may do in life. There's that attitude that God's only interested in the big things in your life. That's malarkey. He is interested in every iota, every detail of our lives, every aspect of it. The air we breathe. The thoughts of our mind. See. But your sin nature is constantly sitting there vying to give it its attention, your attention. To go with the sin nature. See. And hence we find ourselves in the weakness of the flesh, as we say, stumbling in many ways. But we have the advantage of prescription to be victorious over the sin nature otherwise. And that is through the rapid recovery system of rebound and maintaining our priorities otherwise. Verse 18, but if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. The law condemns us for being sinful creatures. The law is called a curse. because the law proves that all men sin and fall short of the glory of God. See. But when we're in fellowship, we're not under the condemnation of the law. We're under the ministry of God the Holy Spirit. And God the Holy Spirit does not violate the law. And then, as the verses continue on, you get examples of SE activity versus the fruit of the Spirit. Now, the works of the flesh are evident, verse 19. And these are obviously just partial lists. It can be just as sophisticated as your mind can think it up in regard to your sin nature. But these are obviously main avenues of SCA expression. First, obviously, is sexual types of sins, which dominates landscape. It has washed over our planet, sexual immorality. Immorality, that's illicit sex, impurity, sensuality, mental attitude sins, dressing provocatively, things of this nature, carrying on in a provocative way, that's sensuality, see. Commercials, nothing to do with the product they're selling. It's all about sex, see, put up the like pornographic pictures to get everybody stimulated. Idolatry, verse 20. An idol can be anything that you set up as your sacred cow in life that overrules or overrides the priorities of Bible doctrine in your life. Who are your celebrities in life? You know, what great rock star is it this week? Or athlete? You know, like they're great. Great examples of humanity. You know, whatever. Your celebrity in life should be the person of Jesus Christ. So idolatry doesn't have to. You don't have to bow down and worship some graven image to engage in idolatrous activity. Anything that you set your STA up and let it run and run with it under that becomes your idol in life. See, sorcery. That's pharmakia. Drugs. Drugs dominates the landscape today all over the place. Every answer is give somebody a drug. See. Sit there you have a little health test and use old school methods, you know, your thieves and your oregano oils and vitamin C and all this other stuff, and you decide to call your doctor to see if you can get any more advice from him, and said, well, get a little extra sleep there and charge you $100 for it. You know, good grief. I spent more on a teleconference call than I do going to the office itself. It's all about drugs. And of course, Satan has manufactured out the perfect health scheme and crisis in regards to promoting pharmakia in the world. They are at the top of God's hit list in regards to the great merchants. I guarantee you that. You've got to have a drug for everything. Have a little emotional problems. Or bring back Patton and his leather gloves. I love that movie. But everybody wants to run under their emotions, see. I'm not saying that there's not physical consequences attached to these things, but that's all part of the discipline that comes in people's lives for failure to faith rest, to maintain their spiritual priorities of life, and things of this nature. Enmities, that's conflict created by STAs. Conflict of human viewpoint versus divine viewpoint. You think about the highest calling that we have in witness of life. The highest calling is a witness of the truth. In contrast to all that the world will throw at us in contradiction to it. That's what this local assembly is all about. It's to train us so that we can function at a high level in this regard. And when you stand for the truth, you will have and you will meet conflict in life. You can't avoid it. Strife, jealousy, outbursts of anger. We're not talking about righteous indignation. We're talking about sin anger. The knee-jerk reaction, exploding on people and things of this nature without no real cause. Disputes, because there's no like-mindedness of thinking in regards to doctrine. That's one of the beauties of relationships of like-minded believers, that when the doctrine is laid out on the board, no matter what difference we may come from at any given point in time, when the doctrine is laid out on the board, everybody sees the doctrine. And the separation is mended. Why it's so important in regards to waiting on your right number to have one who is positive to doctrine like you are. When you're on different pages in regards to doctrine, then conflicts are generally hard-pressed to overcome and resolve. Dissensions, factions, envying, verse 21, drunkenness, carousing, the party mentality. And things like these, see, it's just a partial list. Things like these. He expects you to have enough common sense to recognize sin in your life without having to be detailed out for every little word and description. Of which I forewarn you, just as I have forewarned you, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. It does not say you won't enter the kingdom of God. It says you will not inherit. Things out of fellowship cost you SG3 at the bema seat. You will lose out to that degree your share of inheritance that you could have had otherwise if you had stayed in fellowship. So if you see any of these examples here involved in regards to any situation, you can raise your hand and say, there's an STA loose here in this crowd. This is not the product of God the Holy Spirit. This is a product of the flesh. And then on the other end of the coin, verse 22, I'll go ahead and read this. So it's part of another point, but that's fine. But the fruit of the Spirit, God the Holy Spirit, being in fellowship, not carrying out the desire of the flesh, not carrying out the desire of the STA, is first love, that is God-sponsored love, divine love, being in fellowship, application of Bible doctrine. The capacity to apply doctrine to all around you. How you can love your enemy, yet still defend yourself in life. Joy, that's inner happiness. Inner happiness. You're miserable inside, then you need to check your STA. That's where the source is coming from. It's failure to often faith rest and put your trust in God. See, to have inner happiness doesn't mean that you feel like $1 million physically or anything like that. It denotes that that within you are embracing God within your mind and within your soul, and you find a satisfaction of happiness between you and God and your relationship with Him. Knowing that He's your friend, see, that stimulates happiness within the soul. Peace, inner peace. Instead of being wrapped around the axle like 99% of the world is consistently. Wars and rumors of wars. There's nothing more than the last days coming to fruition. Just waiting for the bear to start eating much meat is what I'm waiting for. If he gets around to it before we're out of here. See? Patience. Patience is a byproduct of testing. God tests us. He tests our commitment in regards to doctrine. And part of the results of being in testing is that we grow up in patience, to be patient and wait upon God. Your SGA will sit there and will convince you 90 ways to nothing of the best course of action. But that may not be God's course of action for you. And hence, demands to be patient and waiting upon God to provide these things. Obviously, you're constantly sensitive to God's will in your life. Doesn't mean you don't make application. But these lunge for every little thing in life, Funsville, details, relationships, whatever, professions, you name it, kindness, recognizing the compassion that you have for others in regards to their own tests in life, and to be sensitive to that goodness, that's divine good. Simply do what's right. See, get in fellowship and do what's right. Faithfulness. To be loyal and committed in regards to the doctrine in your soul. In regards to God's plan for your life. These are all virtues and assets that come about for one's pursuit of being in fellowship and being filled with God the Holy Spirit throughout their lives. These things will find their place to help us overcome when the weakness of the flesh does arouse its ugly head otherwise in regard to our lives. Gentleness, self-control, against such things there is no law. There is no law. So, speaking of faith rest, walking in faith rest. Walking in faith rest. Faith rest means exactly what it sounds like. First of all, you adopt what we refer to as RMA, your relaxed mental attitude. To relax about it and to put your faith and trust in God, recognizing He knows the best for each and every one of us, and knowing that He will bring about according to His own perfect timing. See, God has timing in things. 2 Corinthians 5:7. Our approach to life is starkly different than most of mankind. We walk a system of faith. There are others that walk similar, even though their faith is misplaced. But for the believer priest who seeks to do God's will for our life, a lot of the promises, etc., associated with being a believer and doing it right and fulfilling God's plan for our life, does not have a tangible source, if you will, of evidence that we can see or grab hold of to hang on to in regards to continue to encourage us, etc. We simply believe that it will happen. See? Now, there's no way that we can show you overtly God the Holy Spirit indwell in your body. But the Bible says He does. So we believe that. We believe that He fills us. Or our sin nature is control over our lives. There is no tangible proof of one way or the other apart from the evidences that's otherwise are associated with people operating in their particular spheres. But we are to live a life of faith, for we walk by faith. Verse 6, therefore, being always of good courage, and knowing that while we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. This is not a death wish by Paul. He's not sitting there trying to conjure up some way to shorten his life so he can die. But he recognizes the advantage of getting the hell out of this body and having a resurrection body and being before Jesus Christ face to face. And as long as we are here in the angelic conflict, we are separated, if you will, in a spiritual or physical way in regard to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. When we exit this world, we will then be face to face with Him. It will be a reality to us in this regard. And to be of good courage, to know that how many believers have gone on before us and walked this same path and hung in there, all that we've been studying in Genesis. For we walk by faith, not by sight. We truly believe all the promises that are set forth for us regards to the Scripture. With every Bible class being filled with God the Holy Spirit, studying God's Word, the confidence level is intended to rise in regards to our lives. And over a course of many years for many of us, obviously at a very high level of confidence and courage. There is not another way out there. If you can show me another way to approach God's plan for our lives, I'm all ears. A better way than what we are doing. I guarantee you, you won't be able to. I've looked at many of them. I've been involved in them myself, etc. We are of good courage, I say, prefer rather to be absent from the body and to be at home with the Lord. Obviously, being face-to-face is the epitome and will be the highlight, even though it may be beyond our scope of perception in our tangible, physical, finite bodies, but it will be the highlight of our very existence to stand before Him in this capacity. Therefore, also we have as our ambition, whether at home or absent, to be pleasing to Him. To seek to please God. While your SCAs all the time are aware, no, please me. Do me. My turn. Colossians 2:6. Purpose of becoming a believer is so that you are given the advantage to be able to then serve God, to serve God then as a believer, as a child of God. That's verse 6. As you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, that's your phase one salvation adjustment to justice of God. You received Him when you believed in His person for salvation. You have Christ in you. As other phraseology would state, at least to the gospel. And the fact that we've entered into that realm of being a child of God, so walk in Him. Walk in the sphere of Jesus Christ. Abide in me, I in you, as John would say in his gospel. Be in fellowship. And couple that with the truth of Bible doctrine. Christ says the word, Hologos. C, walking in Bible doctrine. That is what we refer to as divine viewpoint. You have two pools of thought you can draw upon in regards to the ideologies and philosophies of life. You have divine viewpoint, that is God's viewpoint. That is the content of Scripture. All other viewpoint is contradictory or distorts it in any form or fashion is human viewpoint. So we are to walk in the light of the divine viewpoint, not in the darkness of human viewpoint. 3 John verses 3 and 4. Here John writing to a friend, Gaius. His relationship with these people are bound in the truth of doctrine. Whom I love in truth, verse 1. Verse 2, beloved, I pray that in all respects you may prosper and be in good health just as your soul prospers. To have God bless you as spiritually you're prospering. For God to bless you in regards to those things in life, to include obviously the eternal state as it may be applicable. But to be in good health, that is sufficient so that one can continue to run their course, maintain their NPR. For I was very glad when brothers came, verse 3, and bore witness to your truth. That is how you are walking in truth. How you are walking in truth. I have no greater joy than this, to hear of my children. A term of endearment that the Apostle John has for those under his charge. Walking in the truth. Walking in the truth. Two times. No greater joy. For any pastor, it can be said, just a pastor, that what tickles their fancy is when they're seeing the application of Bible doctrine in believers' lives. And that they're conducting their course of life and manner of life surrounding doctrine. See? In spite of any weaknesses along the way otherwise. So we are to set a path and a course in life that follows the dictates of the truth of doctrine and not become distracted in regards to what the world may try to throw in our path as a stumbling block to these priorities in our life. So D, walking in love, again recognizing the proper concept of love, here divine love as we would call it, filling the Holy Spirit, having the right mental attitude and application. Obviously, if you're filled with the Holy Spirit, you have the right attitude. If you don't have the right attitude, then you're not filled with the Holy Spirit, but anyway. And divine love demands both faith plus works. Faith plus application. Your phase two, whereas phase one, faith is apart from any works. Phase two, faith demands works. It requires it. You don't work in regards to your phase two, then you are a spiritual catastrophe. Ephesians 5:2. Therefore, be imitators of God. People like to emulate others. Whatever hero in life they may perceive or whatever. we as believers are to imitate God. And other scripture exhorts us to imitate those who imitate God, such as Paul and company, and others, as beloved children, not as the stinkers running around under their sin natures all the time, see. As beloved children, a child that a parent finds satisfaction and happiness with, rather than a disobedient child, constantly out of sorts, won't give doctrine a time of day, things of this nature, see. And walk in love. So imitate God, reflecting your sonship status with God through Christ as beloved children, and walk in love. And we have the example par excellence regards to what it means to conduct one's manner of life in love, and that is none other than the person of Jesus Christ. Just as Christ also loved you and gave Himself up for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God as a fragrant aroma. We are the true benefactors regards to His work on the cross. What He sacrificed regards to His ministry in the hypostatic union of the first advent in His humanity. Pushing His deity aside, if you will. Not relying upon it, but functioning in His humanity to stand for the truth of doctrine in spite of all the antagonism and hostility that was directed towards His person and ministry by the very people whom He came to save. And sacrifice, obviously, service is the call in regards to those who want to be true imitators of God and apply love towards others. Obviously, there is a place, a time and place for all things. And God takes care of ourselves. But our true endeavor, our true goal is to serve one another. To present ourselves as a assembly, a unified assembly at the Bema seat. Spotless, without wrinkle, and having a phase two glory attached to our very presence as a local assembly. Yeah, everybody else can crash and burn, and you can still make it on your own. But for a pastor's dream, it's the local assembly all together corporately that he would most desire to see. See. And Christ pulled no stops. He let nothing get in His way, including Satan himself, to deny us the provision of salvation and all the blessings and inheritance, etc., that's associated with becoming a child of God through His person and what He did for us on the cross, gaining us victory over our sin nature, both in eternity as well as in time. We don't have to run under our sin nature like unbelievers, even though we often walk like our counterpart unbelievers. The unbeliever has no other alternative but to operate under their sin nature. Believers are given the availability and the advantage of being able to overrule it and deal with it, to jettison the human viewpoint otherwise in their thinking and reprogram their minds with the mind of Christ and applying it at that level. And when we do, we are serving one another. Serving one another in camaraderie, of hanging in there, come hell or high water and all these other things that may be associated with the ongoing tribulations of any local church during any time in history. E, walking in divine good production. That's application of Bible doctrine. Divine good versus human good. Again, another concept believers are completely blind to. Human good. Human good is anything that you do out of fellowship or out of step with the truth of doctrine in a compatible situation. No matter what great sacrifice may be, even giving a life for another, such in times of war and things of this nature and a line of duty and all these other things. Out of fellowship, it brings you nothing at the bema seat. Not one thing, not one iota of reward. Yet for the believer priest who does things in fellowship, even getting someone a glass of cold water will have reward awaiting for them in the eternal life niche. We have complete separate doctrine. The doctrine is Surpassing Grace, Phase 3, SG3. That relates to this principle of divine good production along with the doctrine of divine good production. That is Ephesians 2:10. The true gospel, for by grace you have been delivered through faith, that not of yourselves, it is a free gift of God. There's nothing you can do to earn or deserve salvation. God simply provides it for mankind as a free gift. Walks up to the door, here's the package, it's yours, all you have to do is take it. And yet, the majority of mankind or humanity will reject that free gift. That's because the reason why there is nothing that we can offer God on our own part is because what God demands to have is absolute perfect righteousness in terms of what is offered to Him for salvation. And only Jesus Christ has had the ability to provide such a thing and did. Not as a result of works, that no one should boast. People get to heaven, they will have absolutely no claim in regard to their salvation. Jesus Christ gets all the credit, every aspect of it. It truly is a life of grace. And even our phase 2 is built on that grace. While works are involved in our phase 2, it still resides on the grace of our so great salvation otherwise. Verse 10, for we are His workmanship. God's workmanship. Created in Christ Jesus for what reason? For good works. That's divine good production. To get in fellowship. To apply the doctrine. That's called divine good. So we become believers so that we can exploit our salvation and enjoy all the immense blessings that God has for those who otherwise will do so. Which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. So every opportunity that you have to apply divine good, God set it up in eternity past for you to be able to step in and get your SG3. He prepared beforehand. And so all we have to do is plug in with doctrine. See, that's the challenge. Plug in with doctrine. Get in fellowship. Maintain your spiritual priorities in life. And redeem as much time as possible in regard to your Christian life. And God will provide you with all the opportunities necessary for you to apply divine good production in your life. And obviously, much of it just comes through our typical, normal day in regards to living. Whether it's at home, whether it's on the job, relationships, etc. that God prepared all these things beforehand. And for those who do arrive, they will not be disappointed at the Bema seat. Father, again, thank you for the truth of your word. We ask God, the Holy Spirit, to continue to light these things. In Jesus' name, amen.